Trumos Perek Tes, Yehi Ratzon Shlimudenu Yezchus Li'ilui Nishmas Rabban Yudalei Ben Rabno Achtzvi. The ninth chapter of Maseches Trumos deals with the topic of a rabbinic form of Truma, namely that which grew out of Truma which was planted. Truma is the 2% of grain or other produce that is to be given to the Kohen and eaten in a state of purity by the Kohen. Truma can be eaten, it can be drunk, it can be used as ointments. It should not be planted. What happens if a person does plant it? That's the topic of this parak. Mishnah Aleph. Hazorea Truma, a person who plants Truma. If he did it shogig by mistake, yufach, he should plow over the field and uproot those plants. Umezid. But if he planted it on purpose, yikayim, then he needs to leave those plants and allow them to grow. Because since everyone knows that he planted Truma, the field has a name of a field of Truma, and Gidule, if he would uproot it, people would think you can destroy Truma. You're not allowed to destroy Truma. You have to preserve Truma. Therefore, he needs to leave it, and what grows is called Gidule Truma, which, as we will see, has a unique rabbinic status. Imeviashlish, if the grain has already grown a third, Bain shogig bain mezid, then even if you planted it by mistake, and certainly if you planted it on purpose, yikayim, you need to leave it, and you cannot uproot it, because again, it looks like Truma, it's known as Truma. You're not allowed to destroy Truma. If you would uproot this, people would think you can destroy Truma. Uva pishta. If, though, you planted flax seeds of Truma, mezid, then even on purpose, even if it grew a third, yufach, you need to uproot it, and you're not allowed to leave it. Because with flax seeds, people don't really care so much for the seeds. The main point is the stalks. And if he planted the flax seeds for the sake of those stalks, and he's going to think that you're allowed to have the stalks, he might do this on purpose, to plant flax seeds of Truma. So therefore, they made a knas, they made a fine. They said, if you plant flax seeds of Truma, you're not going to get access to stalks. Those stalks have to be uprooted and destroyed. Mishnah Beis. Now, what grows from Truma, Gidule Truma, v'chayeves b'leket v'shikol v'peya. It's not really Truma. Really, biblically, it's chulin. But rabbinically, they said, this chulin cannot be eaten by Yisraelim, it can only be eaten by Kohanim, in a certain way it's Truma. So therefore, since it biblically it was chulin, what grows from Truma, it still has the laws of Peah, you have to leave a corner of the field for the poor, whatever you drop, the leket has to be left for the poor, and shikha, whatever you forget of the bundles and the piles, you have to leave for the poor. Now, when you have these matnos aniyim, gifts to the poor, from a field of Gidule Truma, Aniyeh Yisrael v'aniyeh Kohanim alaktim. Poor Yisraelim, just as poor Kohanim, can go and pick these gifts. However, since it is Gidule Truma, and it has somewhat of a rabbinic status of Truma, the rabbi said Yisraelim can't eat it. The Aniyeh Yisrael, the poor Israelites who pick these gleanings of Gidule Truma, Mochun Eshalahem, they have to sell what they pick, like Kohanim, to Kohanim, Bitmei Truma Bezol, with the cheap price, because Truma has a limited demand. But since they picked these gleanings, and they're allowed to pick these gleanings, Hadamim, the money, Shalahan, belongs to them, and it doesn't have the status of Truma. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says, no. If you have a field of Gidule Truma, true biblically, it's not Truma. Nevertheless, rabbinically, it gets treated as Truma, and therefore, lo yilaktu elaniye kohanim. Only the poor kohanim are allowed to go and pick these gleanings. Shema yishkechu, lest if we allow Aniyeh Yisrael, poor Israelites, to pick, they might forget v'yitnu l'toch piyam, and they might put it into their mouths. Amar Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Tarfon, im kein, if you're worried that people might put things in their mouths, lo yilaktu ela tahorim. We should say that only Kohanim who are tahor, who are poor, should be allowed to pick these gleanings, because a Kohen Tameh is also not allowed to eat Truma, and maybe he'll forget, and he will put it into his mouth and eat. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva thinks we're not worried about that, and he thinks just like Kohanim Tmeim can pick the gleanings, even Yisraelim can pick the gleanings, and they should sell it to Kohanim Bidmei Truma Bezol. The third Mishnah, again, talking about that which grows from Truma, which was planted. that which grows from chuma, what we're calling gidulei chuma, v'chayeves b'maisus v'maiser ani. What grows, it's only rabbinically chuma. Biblically, it's not chuma, and therefore there's an obligation to separate from it the tithes, maiser rishon, maiser sheni. You have to separate chuma from it, and you have to separate maiser ani in year 3 and year 6 of the Shemitah cycle. This maiser ani, which comes from gidulei chuma, aniyei Yisrael v'aniyei kohanim notem, can be given to the poor Israelites and poor kohanim. Both of them can come and collect it. Aniyei Yisrael, but the poor Israelites should not eat it because rabbinically it gets treated as chuma. Mochin eshalahem lakohanim, they can sell what they collected to priests, bidmei chuma, with the reduced price that chuma always collects, gets. V'hadam shalahem, but they can keep the money that they got for what they sold. Let's say you have these gidulei chuma, and you want to do disha, you want to thresh, you want to separate the kernels from the chaff. Now, normally, kernels from the chaff are separated with an animal stepping on them. Problem is, when you have an animal doing the threshing, you have a mitzvah lo sachsom shor b'disho. You're not allowed to muzzle the ox. On the other hand, you can't have an ox that belongs to a Yisrael eating gidulei chuma, the same way an ox that belongs to an Israelite could not eat regular chuma. So, chovet, if the way to do the threshing is done by a person using sticks, meshubach, that's best. However, hadash, if someone's going to do the normal threshing with an animal, ketzad yase, how could he do it without violating the law not to muzzle an animal while threshing? Tolech fifos bitzavari behema. He has to hang wicker baskets on the neck of the animal. Venosim lesocha me'osu hamin, and put the same type of grain as the animal is stepping on into those baskets. So if the animal's stepping on barley, to put barley on the baskets. If he's stepping on wheat, to put wheat in the baskets. And let the animal eat from the baskets. Nimtza lozom mesa behema. In this way, he's not muzzling the animal, but also v'lo machel aso chuma. He's not feeding the animal chuma, which he wouldn't be allowed to do. Mishnah Dalet gives us some of the basic rules. Gidulei chuma, what grows from chuma, rabbinically has the status of chuma. Gidulei gidulin, however, what grows from what grew, that is chulin. It doesn't have the status of chuma. Aval hatzevel, but other things. Let's say you have grain that you finished its production, you've brought it inside, it's obligated in chumas and maisos, and you haven't separated the chumas and maisos from it yet. That's the prohibition of tzevel, you can't eat from it. Or maiser rishon, or if you have the first tithe that had been separated to give to levium without having separated from it chumas maiser, usvichei shvius, or bushes that grew wildly during shmita, which are not allowed to be eaten, uchumas chutz laretz, or the rabbinic truma, the truma of outside the land of Israel, v'hameduma, or a mixture of truma with less than 100 so it didn't lose its identity, v'habikurim, or the first fruits. All of these things, if they are planted, gidulehem, what grows from them, are chulin, are secular. What happens if you have items, let's say grain, that you made hektish, you consecrated them, or you made the maiser sheni, and you plant them? So gidulei hektesh and maiser sheni, the growth of hektesh or maiser sheni, chulin. Those things do not have any sanctity. They are chulin. Upod osan bizman zaram. But when you redeem, you have to redeem the value that they had at the moment of planting. So if at the moment of planting it was only a sa'a, even though a lot more has grown, you only redeem the value of a sa'a. Because as we've said, what grows from Maiser Sheni or from Hekdesh does not have the status of Maiser Sheni or Hekdesh. It has the status of Chulin, of regular, unconsecrated property. Mishnah Hay. Let's say you have a field which has lots of different plantings. Some are from Chuma and some are not from Chuma. So Mea Ligna Shel Chuma, 100 bushes in a field that are products of planted Chuma. V'achas shel chulin, and one bush is regular chulin that created a bush, and you don't remember what's what. So then, chulin mutar b'dar v'shazaro kala. If what was planted was something where the seed has decomposed, the chuma itself has decomposed, then the sages are lenient. The sages, the gedulei chuma's status is totally rabbinic, and here they're lenient, and they say, you know what, you don't know what's the gedulei chuma, the whole thing becomes permitted. But if you have bushes of seeds of chuma, that the seed is still here, the seed has not decomposed. Then it goes the other way. Even if you have 100 bushes of seeds that are non-chuma, and one bush being of chuma, chulin asur, and they all become prohibited. We don't say here that if you have 100 times more chulin, it annuls the chuma. 100 times more chulin can annul the chuma in a mixture. That's where you have dimua. But when things are in the ground, you don't have the law of that type of bittul, that type of annulment. Mishnevav, hatevel, if you have tevel that you plant, gidulav mutarn. As we said, what grows from it is chulin. So whatever grows from it, you can eat, as long as you're just having a snack, without separating chumas and maestros. That's true, bedavar, shazaro, kala. If you planted tevel, and it's a plant where the seed decomposes, aval bedavar, shein zaro, kala. But as we're going to see, onions are an example of things where the seed doesn't decompose. So if you take an onion of tevel and you plant it and out of it grows, so since you have the original tevel still here, then it's not so. Then it is what grows is also tevel. And not only that, gidule gidulin asurin, even what grows from what grows, would be considered tevel and you can't eat it. Even arai without maestros being given, because the core of it is something obligated in maestro, and that core is still here. Ezehu davar she'en zaro kale. What are examples of plantings where the core, the seed, does not decompose and is still around? Could go on a luf. Luf is a type of onion, shum, garlic, vabitzalim, and regular onions. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda omer hashum, garlic, does decompose. Kasorim, it's like barley, which decompose quickly. And therefore, he says, if you planted garlic of tevel, what grows out of it, the garlic would not be prohibited. It wouldn't have the status of being prohibited. So you give chumos and maestros from it. You could snack from it without chumos and maestros. Mishnah Zayin. Hamenakesh imanachri b'chasios. Let's say a person goes to a non-Jew. The non-Jew has purchased a field in Israel. And you start working with this non-Jew in his field, and you're pulling out, you know, weeds from the onion field or the garlic field. Namely, these are items where the core is still around. Afo pisha peros of tevel, even though the produce of a nachri is by definition tevel, because according to this Tana, the land of Israel maintains its sanctity even when the non-Jew buys it. So it's still obligated in chumas and maestros, and he's not going to separate the chumas and maestros. But nevertheless, ochel mehen arai. When you harvest with him, you can eat from what he harvests on a temporary basis, not a permanent meal, and it's not like other eatings of tevel. Shtile chuma. Let's say you have saplings of chuma. Let's say a sapling of cabbage. So you plant it, then you pick it up, you plant it somewhere else, you pick it up, plant it another place. So once, say, you picked it up once, it became tame, shenitmu. Now, shaslan, once you replant it, taru milatame, they lose the ability to make other things tame, because once they're planted, they're no longer considered food, they're considered attached to the ground, and they don't make other things tame. However, vasur milecho, you're not allowed to eat these chuma cabbages that have become tame, because we know that there's a very strict prohibition on eating chuma tamea, and this is still with that strict prohibition, at least on a rabbinic level. When would it lose that ability? Let's say if you had a sapling of chuma that become tame, how would it lose its status of tame? If you plant it and it grows, at shiyagum esa ochel, and you cut down everything that's edible from it, and then when it regrows, that's permitted. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to do that twice. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad shiyagum v'yishne. You plant it, it grows, you cut it off, and it regrows, and you cut that off. What grows a third time, that's already no longer considered tameh and prohibited, and that would be something that a kohen could eat. Ad kan perek tes in Maseches Chumos.